Slowly but surely, the Trump administration's Pentagon team is taking shape. The Senate voted yesterday to confirm Patrick Shanahan as Deputy Secretary of Defense. The White House nominated one more official to serve in a key undersecretary position. And four more Pentagon nominees went to Capitol Hill for their confirmation hearings. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has a scorecard on where things stand.
Although his confirmation process got off to a somewhat rocky start, with Armed Services Committee Chairman John McCain chastising him for being insufficiently specific, Patrick Shanahan, a former Boeing executive, cleared the Senate with dozens of votes to spare.
The yeas are 92, the nays are 7. The nomination is confirmed.
The vote clears the way for Shanahan to take the number 2 defense job right away, replacing Robert Work, the last deputy secretary of the Obama administration, who agreed to stay on until the Trump administration found a permanent replacement. A day earlier, the Trump White House announced its intent to nominate Joseph Kernan to be the undersecretary of defense for intelligence. Kernan is a senior vice president at SAP National Security Services and a veteran of the Navy's special operations community. The nomination would continue to fill out Defense Secretary James Mattis's leadership team in what's still been an unusually slow process. The Pentagon still has no nominees for 2 of the 5 undersecretary positions, the undersecretary for policy and the undersecretary for personnel and readiness. But also on Tuesday, the Senate began the confirmation process for the president's nominee to be undersecretary for acquisition, technology, and logistics. Ellen Lord is currently the CEO of Textron Systems. In her testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee, she emphasized what she says is the department's need to adopt 80% solutions to solve its technology challenges, including by making more use of rapid prototyping and alternative acquisition approaches like the ones used by the Defense Innovation Unit Experimental.
I think we need to make far more use of commercial technology, and I think the Congress has provided many authorities to the Department of Defense over the last couple of years that can be more widely utilized, and if confirmed, that will be a huge focus of mine to make sure we take advantage of the opportunities to bring in subject matter experts, use special funds that have been set aside to make sure that commercial hardware is procured and software. And I think what we need to do is just continue to have policies to allow us to buy commercial goods very effectively and blend those with what our defense industrial base has. We don't need the traditional long requirements process for many of the capabilities the warfighter needs. So I think using more of SCO, DIUX, the different rapid fielding, I think we have enough authorities to do it. We just need to implement.
Lord also pledged to empower the defense acquisition workforce, including by delegating more authority to program managers and delivering more training to rank and file members of the acquisition community.
I believe that there's enormous opportunity to train the acquisition workforce, and if confirmed, that would be something I would spend time on. We have a lot of authorities, a lot of ability to do things today that frankly just aren't being utilized, and it's not because there aren't very good people in the acquisition workforce. I believe that there just has not been sufficient training. So there are a number of very skilled program managers out there. There are a lot of very good contracting officers. If confirmed, I would take those people who have demonstrated a great ability to be agile and embrace the new authorities and have them train others.
The position Lord's been nominated for is unique in that under current law, it will cease to exist next February. The Defense Department is under a legislative mandate to divide the current AT&L organization into 2 offices overseen by 2 undersecretaries, one for research and engineering and one for acquisition and sustainment. If she's confirmed, Lord is also expected to become the first acquisition and sustainment chief when the position comes into effect next year. In the meantime, she pledged to prioritize research and development.
Delivering innovation to the warfighter is absolutely critical to our national security. If confirmed, I will review what we're doing in basic research and make sure that we are dealing with the entire spectrum of development.
During the same relatively brief hearing, the committee heard from 3 other defense nominees: John Gibson, the prospective deputy chief management officer, Matthew Donovan, the nominee for undersecretary of the Air Force, and Lucian Niemeyer, the nominee to be the assistant secretary of defense for energy, installations, and environment. In his testimony, Niemeyer, a former senior Senate staffer turned independent consultant, said his highest priority was to address the underfunding of maintenance on military installations, and also made the case for one of the most unpopular topics on Capitol Hill, the need for another round of base realignments and closures.
I know the history of BRAC and congressional concerns regarding irreversible decisions, high costs, and mixed results. BRAC decisions must be based on a sound security strategy, and force structure to meet those global challenges. The Department is committed to providing an updated national defense strategy in the near term that will define military value in the BRAC analysis. Conducting BRAC at a time of military growth may seem counterintuitive, but now is the time to authorize a round. By 2021, when the Secretary submits recommendations, force growth projections, as been discussed by this committee this year, will be factored in the analysis to make prudent strategic decisions about basing.
Gibson, a former aerospace executive, is also being nominated for a job that's slated for changes next year when DOD creates the new position of Chief Management Officer. In the meantime, as Deputy Chief Management Officer, he says he would work to improve DOD's access to timely and accurate information about its business operations, including by preparing the department for its first ever financial audit.
It is essential to good business decisions in all areas. I can tell you that supporting the audit with Secretary Norquist will be a priority, and that even more specific, that this particular office is a co-owner of that process by owning the information systems. So if confirmed, I would look to work with Secretary Norquist on a regular basis. We would partner together to make this happen. And there's one other aspect to this I think is very important, is that as we begin this process, we will begin to discover weaknesses. And there will be weaknesses that are relevant to the office of the DCMO. I think it's critical that we immediately devise corrective actions and begin to work on those.
And Donovan, another former staff member for the Senate Armed Services Committee and a retired Air Force officer, told the committee he would work to deal with the Air Force's current readiness deficits, including by addressing an ongoing shortfall of fighter pilots.
If pilots aren't able to fly, then they're going to go somewhere where they can, and they're certainly boating with their feet. I think it has to do with the capacity of the Air Force is so low that it's not able to ride out the storm. There's sort of a perfect storm occurring where the airlines are hiring at much higher rates than we've seen in the past, and there's no end in sight. It's also combined with a much smaller capacity in the Air Force, where in the past, when the Air Force was much larger and had a larger capacity, was able to ride out those periods of hiring, which have in the past been cyclic by the major airlines. And then you combine that with the very high operations tempo rates that are occurring right now, especially for the Air Force and the fights occurring over in the Middle East. I think all those things coming together are causing us to have to take a look at new ways of keeping the pilots that we do have.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.